Well, we're coming into, obviously, in September now. This is an exciting time in the life of Melbourne, of course, because we're getting close to the grand final of the AFL, yes. And it all becomes real. All the hopes become real. All the rivalries start to come out. People don't talk to each other at the greeting of the peace as much, you know. And it's on the big day where everyone gathers together at the MCG or around a TV screen somewhere around the country to watch what's going to happen. And it is a strange thing to think about this because all our attention is actually focused and we're essentially gathered together around looking at what's happening to quite a small, odd-shaped ball for a couple of hours. And we're focused on this for what's going to happen. And I just want to bring that up because this image of the grand final, or in fact any football game at all, can help us to understand our topic today, which is about worship. And what does it mean for the church to gather in worship and our church to do that? And that's helpful for us because worship is one of the key ideas in our new St. Mark's vision, which we're exploring this term. And what Peter has to say about worship in this passage helps us to understand what our mission as a church is and what our goals as a church in that area are going to be. As many of you know, last week we launched our new vision for St. Mark's and looking at what we believe the next 10 years holds for us as a community and what we're going to be focusing on. And what we've chosen or discerned as the key thing for our church in the next 10 years is to learn and practice together what does it mean for us, again, to be a church in this area focused on Jesus Christ and his presence with us. Because, you know, we believe that God has a plan for the world. He wants to transform it by his power, his love, his wisdom at work through Jesus into what it was made to be. And to heal what's gone wrong in the world, to bring a new life into it. And we believe God is working everywhere and he's working through everything for this to happen. But God's work is focused in a particular way on his personal presence in the world through his Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And where Christ and the Holy Spirit are personally present in our lives, what happens is a community is formed. And that's what we call the church. So God works through people, through his community, and he influences and transforms those around us. And so we describe our mission at St. Mark's now as to be an authentic expression of God's transforming presence in Emerald in the Hills. Our mission is to be an expression of God's presence in this area. And we also have a vision that comes out of that, to live more authentically into that reality in the future. So we hope that we will become a community of transformation, a community of transformation. And all the plans and the strategies that we have for the next 10 years as a church that flow out of this vision to become a community of transformation. Now, you might have this vision brochure that you got last week or as you came in, you might have picked it up. You can follow along a bit what I'm saying for some of these ideas today. Because today I want to think about the first element of our vision, which is what does it mean for us to be transformed as a community of worship? And think a bit more about that in depth because that's one of the big themes. Last week as we went through this, I kind of had to skim across all these ideas to give you an overview of our vision. But it takes time to understand what we're talking about and to think about what does this mean for us practically here at St. Mark's. And so over the next few weeks, I want to take time to do that, to go into these areas and to expand and deepen our understanding of what our vision is and where God's calling us. And to see what does the Bible actually say about these things. Today in our passage, there are just wonderful things to help us understand more clearly who we actually are as a church. And it seems to me that Peter teaches us that the church is, first and foremost, a worshipping community. And so we're a worshipping community. And both of those things, worshipping and community, are important. And I think they need to be taken into account when we consider what the church is. So we are a worshipping community. And I think, firstly, Peter tells us that we are a worshipping community, if you put emphasis on the first word there. Because there are many reasons why people come to church, attending worship services like this or take part in church activities. There are social and fellowship elements to the life of a church, meeting people, developing friendships. There's culture and tradition about things that are important to us and our family. There is a desire that many people have to help and support in their lives and their families as they grow. People like to serve and volunteer in various ways and also a desire to connect with God. And so there's many reasons why people are part of the church community. But I think what actually gathers us and makes us a particular community that we are is that the church is gathered to worship Jesus Christ together. Worship, this expression of honour and glory and praise and thanks being offered to God because of what he's done. And so the church does a lot of things, but this act of worship is actually the central one. It's the first one. In the same way, when you have a grand final party in a couple of weeks, there might be people there for many reasons. So some of us just love barbecues. Any chance to have a beer, have a sausage, have a bit of a social time. And a lot of people don't really care about footy either way, but they'll still go to the party. But the party is gathered around the game. That's why it's on. And that's the reason why a grand final party exists, okay? That's why it's there. In the same way, it's important for us to realise as a church why we're gathered, because it reminds us of what needs to be at the centre of everything we do, which is the living and the transforming presence of God through Jesus Christ. And this is what Peter focuses on in the second half of the reading that Anne gave us today, from chapter 2, verse 4 onwards of 1 Peter. So he says, Jesus is like a living stone. And we've thought a bit about what living stones are. Jesus is the cornerstone, he says, of a sort of new temple, a new building of worship that God is constructing in the world. And as we come to faith in Jesus, Peter says, we also become living stones in this temple. He says we are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He says the community of the church is like a new building or a new temple, a new place of worship where the presence of God can live in the world and it can be seen. And the members of the church, he says, those who gather around Jesus, are the worshippers in this temple, also as well as being the temple and also being the leaders and the teachers of worship for those around them. As Peter says in verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So the church is a worshipping community. It exists to be an expression of God's transforming presence in the world in a concrete and tangible way, in the midst of the rest of the human community. And the vision of the church that Peter gives here is what we've taken up in the vision and mission of St. Mark's and the goals that come from that, because it tells us how to think about ourselves and what we're doing. And this has very practical consequences for the kind of things that we're going to be doing in the future when we think about worship. I mentioned last week, one of our challenges at the church at the moment, and this is true for many churches in Australia, is that we are actually at the end of a transition over the last two or three generations from a period when the church and the Christian faith was quite at the centre of our community to a time now when it's actually right on the edge and quite marginal and can be ignored by people. And this has happened in our lifetime for some of us. And once people started realising that this was happening, people in the church, one of the first things that churches did was to try to retain people as members of the church or to attract them to worship services by making our services more engaging, more interesting, relevant and contemporary in the style that we used. And that was a very helpful and a necessary thing to do. However, we realise that actually still assumes that people are essentially disposed in our community to come to worship and that they think of themselves as Christians. And it's just that the worship style of the church needs to change a bit and people will meet it more and be engaged by it. The fact is, though, we believe now that we're at a stage in our culture which is a bit beyond that. And the fact is, no matter how good or accessible our worship is, most people in Australia don't really think of themselves as worshippers or perhaps even as Christians. And so that is not going to be part of their life. And so I think we can see at the moment as a church, we're closer to the situation that the churches were that Peter is describing and that he's talking to, which is that we are now a distinct community within the rest of our community in Emerald here in the hills. We have our way and it's centred on Jesus. And the primary thing that we do as a community when we gather is we worship Jesus. And people will join that. God is drawing them to him, but they'll join that because they've encountered God in some way, in a real way in their lives. It's not something that people are naturally disposed to do. It's still important that worship be accessible in our context, of course, but equally we think it's important that it offer a deep and satisfying experience of being gathered in God's presence. Authentic worship has a depth to it. And so one of our goals then as a church is to think about our worship, the shape of it, the rhythm of it, and the content of what we do. How our church community to centre itself on worshipping God in a helpful way. So the first goal we've set for our church is to develop... Did I put that in there? Sorry. It says goal one. It's probably the next one, Gary. Thank you, yeah. To develop a sustainable rhythm of worship services that are appropriate for our place in the hills. And I sort of briefly talked about this last week. The goal here as our church is that we need to be able to have services of worship at times that make sense for our community now and allow worship to be integrated into our lives. Again, we are not living in a Christian society anymore. And the reality is that while Sunday mornings are still a great time for worship for a lot of people, for many people they are very difficult times, and many of you experience that. Many of the normal activities of our community, like sport, shopping, are not scheduled as they used to be with the assumption that people would need to be attending worship at church. And so nothing else should be on at the time. And this is, again, something that's not too far changed in recent history. In my lifetime, Sunday trading has started and people can shop in that time. So we are a worshipping community, as I say, but if our worship rhythm is out of step with the rhythm of the rest of our lives, we're going to struggle. Our worship will suffer and our church will not primarily be what it's supposed to be. So that means, I think, in practice, we'd really like to explore what time and rhythm of worship is good and helpful. So perhaps starting new worship services at some alternate times and with a focus on particular aspects of our community and particular people, such as families with children at school, or youth and young adults and what their needs are, or older members of our community in the hills and what's appropriate for them. To think again about that. Because worship is a rhythm across the week. It's not just Sunday mornings, and we need to think more broadly than that. So that's our first goal, to recognise we're a worshipping community and reflect on what that means. But we also want to recognise the other half of this, that we are a worshipping community, a community. One thing we know about God is that God cares about relationships. In fact, in one sense, God is relationship. He is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when people are gathered in the presence of God, they're gathered into this relationship world, a community together. So worship is about a community of people together. And that's why always in the New Testament, when the writers are speaking to the churches, alongside their encouragements to worship God and to strengthen their faith in him, there are encouragements, I'm doing it today too, aren't I? There are encouragements to show love and care to others around us in the church. So Peter says in this reading that we had today, he starts by saying, "Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." So the presence of God in worship, the presence of God among us, it actually transforms and creates a community of people, a community itself that is like God. That's why in the Bible, God's people, either the people of Israel in the Old Testament or the church after Jesus, are meant to be a alternative community in the world that shows a new way of living to the world around them. So in the book of Exodus, the people of God are set free from Egypt. And God leads them into the promised land with the purpose of creating a nation of people whose lives are centered on God and they live his way together. They follow his commands and they show the world what God is like. And so the church is to be the same. Christians have been set free from sin and death by Jesus. And the communities that we form are supposed to be like what you might call points of light throughout the world that show God's reality. I think Peter might imagine as he's writing to these churches in this letter that he's writing to them as being like the stars in the sky, points of light in the darkness that the world has been in, showing God's light. And one of the ways that this light is shown is through loving relationships in the worshipping community. People who worship Jesus are to be changed by him and to live a different way among themselves. Peter says in chapter 2, verse 1, because of this new way of life, rid yourself of all malice, of deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, and like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that you may grow up in your salvation. Now you've tasted that the Lord is good. This community is different. And so the second goal that we've set as our church for the future is to experience this more deeply about being a worshiping community. So the goal that we've set is to build intergenerational connections and pastoral care strategies to equip our community for faith and life. So if you go back to the AFL again, think about what does it actually mean to be a member of a football club? Because it's not just about watching the games. Anyone can do that. One of the things that makes this that community such an integral part of Melbourne life is that the sporting community is actually a community in very significant ways. But people care about their team, they care about the players, they follow them and they cheer for them, they follow the stories of what's going on, they think about it. And we build local teams around us with people doing coaching and involvement and building into young people's lives the skills and the confidence they need, encouraging them to get out and do things. And so it matters to us what happens, that when we win, when we lose. That's why people get invested in it. The community celebrates together. This is actually a community together. And this is what the church is supposed to be like. It's the same. The worshipping community of the church should build each other up. One of the strategies that churches have used in the last couple of generations to grow and to build people is to separate out the different age groups that we have for their own activities in the church, particularly youth and children for their activities. And there have been a lot of benefits to that, but many people are realising that there is a downside to that, which comes that the church, in that sense, doesn't always function as a community in the way that it could. Because in natural human communities, older and younger people are together, and they share life together, they encourage each other, they serve each other, sharing their gifts, their wisdom, their energy, and their experiences. And that's what we mean when we talk about intergenerational ministry at St. Mark's. It's a big topic and there's lots of work being done on it, but it's something we're really determined to learn a bit more about in the years to come, how we can do that. Because we want the members of our church to be connected to each other, really, for the means of growing in our faith and our life. And so we have plans for things like, how do we develop mentoring relationships among us? How do we build small groups that can span the generations so people can live together and build each other up in their lives in a deeper way? And also, we want to be more intentional about drawing together and caring for people who are struggling in our midst and who need support in their life, and knowing how do we do that well in practical ways according to the resources that God has given us. And there are many ways this can be done intentionally, and we're doing some of them already, of course. Things we can put structures and life around this idea of loving one another deeply from the heart. So our goal is if you become a member of one of our congregations at St. Mark's, you'll be connected and that'll be part of your life here as a worshipper. You have something to give, you have something to receive as a part of a worshipping community where we experience the presence of Jesus through each other. So that's our second goal, just to explain a bit more about what we mean when we say that, to be the kind of community God's calling us to be. And thirdly, I want to think about our third goal in this area of worship, which is to plant a new church community in the hills. Of all the goals I talked about last week, this is probably the one that's easiest for people to visualise in their mind. But it's also the one where I think people will probably have the most questions about or the most trouble with accepting or being happy with this idea. I've already had people ask me about it, which is great. And this is something because this is something that people might see as a bit unnecessary or even unhelpful in the church at the moment. Unnecessary because there are already a number of churches around us in the hills, of course. And people have cars and we can drive to them. And there's plenty of room for growth in our church. This is a long-term vision for us, though. And those who've been at St. Mark's for a couple of decades would have noticed that over the time, a number of smaller churches that were connected to us in our community have closed down. So we think of St. Cuthbert's, I think, at Menzies Creek, and St. Hilda's at Macclesfield that some people were part of have closed in recent years. So you might ask, is this goal kind of pushing against the way things are going? So I want to expand a bit more on that because I think it does speak to our vision. Because the vision of the church that the New Testament gives us is that the presence of God through Christ is already active in the whole world even if we can't see it. And local churches and local gatherings to worship express this presence of God in a particularly clear way. So when we talk about a church community here, we're not really firstly talking about an organisational unit of church, things like a worship service or a building or those sorts of things. we're actually talking about where are people gathered to worship Jesus together in our area. And so when I say our goal is to plant a church community, all I'm saying is that we hope that through us here at St. Mark's over time, there will be new expressions of the church in the hills in the years to come. And what they look like might be different to what actually is in our mind when we think about planting a church. But it will be communities that actually worship together in a new and meaningful way. Those of you who are not familiar with the Anglican Church and how we work might not know what the idea... We talk about the parish sometimes, might not know what that means. Our church, the Anglican Church, is actually not designed or set up as a kind of collection of local church communities or congregations, but actually areas of mission that the church has set aside to act in together. So a parish in our church is actually a defined local area of Melbourne that we, and in a sense me as the vicar, has been given responsibility for mission to. A bounded area says this is your part of a part of Melbourne that you have a mission to in a variety of ways. And so for us, our parish at St. Mark's is not actually this building and what happens in it. That's not what the parish means. I've got a picture up there. It might be hard to see. This is from Google Maps. I've tried to ring out what I think our parish actually is. So what I've been told is that our parish as a community is basically the town of Emerald, down over towards Evanslea, then down towards Macclesfield, and then up through Clematis, Menzies Creek, towards the Patch and Callista. That's an area. That's our parish. And that's a large area, isn't it? It's probably about, I don't know, maybe 10,000 people who live in there. And you can see St. Mark's down here at the bottom in Emerald. So our church here at St. Mark's is actually just a point in the parish. It's one worshipping community, or really three. But we want to know, I think, over the years, is there a need and opportunity for other worshipping communities to start and to form within this area? Because there aren't many at the moment. And part of the mission of the church is to foster a new kind of life and worship so that more people can come to know God and worship him together. And that may be something that's in our future. So those are the goals that we've been setting and thinking about what does it mean to be a worshipping community and to be transformed in that in the years to come. I hope then you can go out today thinking about 1 Peter and what he said and with a deeper understanding of what the church is supposed to be, because what we're saying is this is not just something we've thought up and wrote up in a vision document. It's the Bible is telling us a bit more about what it means to be a community as the church. 1 Peter reminds us the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. He is the precious cornerstone, he says, of our community. And God is calling us to worship him and be transformed by him. And so out of that worship comes everything else in the life of our church and our vision for the future. So I want to pray as we think about that today, and then we're going to spend some more time praying and in worship. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the cornerstone of this new community that God is building in the world where his presence and power can be seen. We pray that your love would flow through us, we would worship you, we would be transformed as we gather together. And we pray for us here at St. Mark's that we would learn in the future what does it mean to be transformed by you, what does it mean to worship, and find ways of expressing that in an authentic way. So we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.